The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome to Bold Talk Business Radio. You're in for a treat today, as you are every week when you're listening to Bold Talk, because we bring you insights, strategies, tips, and tools for your success and satisfaction in life. And we are the show designed for business leaders, professionals, job seekers, somebody who's looking to get a leg up in their career, and maybe listening to this radio show gives them the idea or another little piece of knowledge that lands them an interview or a step up the career ladder or just a better day at work. And we love being able to provide that. We're very grateful to the many experts that we bring on every week. We are in the studio today in Cocoa, Florida with Pete Anselmo, co-host of Bold Talk. How are you doing, Pete?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. And we have on the line with us Gary Douglas, who's going to be speaking about a concept that many in business would poo-poo, but we happen to think is really important. And it's called benevolent capitalism, and the idea that you don't have to kill or break down the people around you in order to be successful in your business. And Gary Douglas, I want to welcome you to Bold Talk Business Radio. Okay, whoops. Well, I know Gary's with us. Gary, are you with us now?
I'm here.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, for so many people, as we know, the perspective on business is that it's a hard, ruthless game. And there's so much talk in, you know, on the news stations, on the edutainment channels, particularly relevant to the political arena. There is so much capitalism and ruthlessness going on out there. And I say capitalism, that's not really what I meant. I meant competition going on out there. And you have a different philosophy, and you've been through tough times and great times and managed to build a company that really works. So we want to find out from you philosophically what's behind your concepts. And let's start a little bit by talking about you in terms of your own background. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Gary?
Well, it's like I tried every church, cult, and religion known to mankind, and I keep looking to see what I can create that's greater than what currently is.
You are a psychologist, and so I think, given that you are looking under the surface of things, Gary, I'm going to have to ask: are you on a speakerphone?
I am.
Yeah, could you please turn off the speaker so our listeners can hear you better?
Yes, is that better?
I think so, yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, sorry. And,
yeah, I had thought we were going to connect by Skype, but we'll keep going the way we are.
Unfortunately, I did not know that I had to be at a real estate closing today on a property that I bought at 12:30. They didn't tell me until midnight last night, and I went, "Oh,
no.
I thought I could just send
my
money."
No worries. We're continuing. We're here now, in real time, and so I want to talk with you a little bit about what you've done in your career that really has helped to transform. Transform people's approach to how they're doing business today. I know that you have developed some tools and processes known as Access Consciousness. So I want to talk about Access Consciousness, which is a company that has actually brought tools and techniques to 173 countries. I know you've trained over 2,000 facilitators worldwide. So why are people, 2,000 people, so interested in the concepts that you're talking about in terms of Access Consciousness and benevolent capitalism?
Well, primarily it's because it is about empowering people to know that they know and to recognizing who knows what. One of the things I was involved with many businesses and over the years, because I'm not exactly a young man. And I was in these businesses, and I watched as people went through, what can I say? It went through the craziest stuff and did stupid things that destroyed their business when the person that was sitting at the front desk kept trying to tell them that wasn't going to work. And, you know, it's like everybody goes, okay, so, well, why isn't that going to work? I asked why wasn't it going to work? And they said, because this is what the people are asking for. And what I discovered is that, you know, it's like bosses always give the rules from the top down. And when you do top-down management, what you do is you end up eliminating the awareness that people at the bottom have. Now, who's the person who's dealing with the customer? The person at the bottom. The person at the top is dealing with the customer. And you got to, if you're dealing with a customer, you've got to have the awareness on the bottom of the bottom levels in order to have the best results at the top. And that was the one thing that became real to me as I watched again and again and again as the leaders made rules and regulations and did all this stuff to handle a problem when the people that were on the line dealing with people had the solution. So I began to realize, you know what, you need to look from the, you know, it's like everything should trickle down to the top, not trickle down from the top to the bottom. And so that was a different way of looking at business, and that was part of what created benevolent capitalism. Because one of the things I noticed is there are ways in which people who deal with everybody every day has a way of seeing things that the boss doesn't get to see. Why doesn't the boss get to see it? Because the boss doesn't see it. Not because it's right or wrong, not because it's good or bad, but because that's what it is. So you have to have this other place where there's different realities that people can look at.
You're listening to Bold Talk Business Radio on AM 1060 WMEL. This is Donna Anselmo, your show host, and I'm with Pete Anselmo in the studio. We have Gary Douglas on the line. Gary is author of several books, and we're going to be talking about those in the next half hour here. But what I wanted to tell you about is when I'm in marketing. I'm author of the book Marketing Demystified, and one of the things that I found early on in my career, Gary, that goes along with what you're talking about is having worked in big corporations. I worked in a university hospital. I worked for Olsten Staffing Services and Adecco, the largest staffing services provider. And one of the things that I noticed early on was that people could spend a lot of money on marketing. They could put out, you know, $1 million ad campaign. But if in the end, the experience that people were having, that the consumers were having with the company did not satisfy them, did not make them into raving fans. For instance, when you try to dial into a company and you have to go through 8 levels of interaction on the, you know, push button telephone, pair somebody's perspective on how well you're serving them. So I think it's really important what you're talking about, and I'm really agreeing with you, that what you're talking about in terms of people at the front line being able to deliver top-level service is so important, because otherwise the money that you spend on your advertising campaign is kind of just thrown into the bucket.
It's just useless.
So,
you know, it's like advertising should be about what you offer and how to get it and have it be easy.
Well, the answer there, from my perspective, is in training, and I think that's part of what you're bringing to the organizations that you're working with through Access Consciousness. Let's talk a little bit about your philosophy on benevolent capitalism. What exactly does that mean? Let's tell our readers about that.
Okay, so benevolent is the idea of bene, which is goodness, volent, which is for all. So benevolent is about the goodness of everything for all, and capitalism is about increasing your cows, basically, is what it started out with. You know, it's like it was becoming more, having more per capita, which means you had more per head. So the end result was, it's like capitalism is really about having more in your life, not about having less. So benevolent capitalism is the idea that you have this way of looking at things and getting to things and look and recognize things. It does not require you to destroy. And I've watched one person after the other go, yeah, I'm a capitalist. No, you're a greedy guest, but you're not a capitalist because it's not about doing better for anybody except you. And I had a friend one time who says to me, I'm tired of doing things for others. It's all going to be all about number one now. It's going to be about me. So he just destroyed other people, took their money, and then had to leave the country because everybody was so angry at him, and sailed away on his boat, and he's never been heard from since. So it's sort of like, wow, what a great way to live your life. It's so much about one that you have to disappear. And that's the thing I notice about people who do the greedy guts version of capitalism, which is it's all about what I'm going to get. And in so doing, they disappear as the beings they are, and they disappear as kind and caring and nurturing aspects of our lives. We need to have that, or we're going to kill the earth.
So I think what I'm hearing from you is that it's very important in business to be able to lead from a heart consciousness as opposed to a head or, you know, just straight logic, because straight logic might dictate that it's all, you're in business, business is about profit, you have to do everything to ensure the profit and to increase the profit. When you're coming from a heart space, you're really looking at, how do I make this interaction between me and my customer more powerful? How do I make it work well for both of us? How are we both getting our needs satisfied? And how do we create a win-win relationship between what our customers need, what our community needs, and what we need? How do you recommend, and what are some of the strategies that you use for you with your customers, with the people that you're training, in terms of how you create that kind of shift? It's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to actually get people engaged in doing it.
Well, it's like, first of all, I think you have to look at how everybody has value. How does this person have value? What is the value of this person? And I have this very strange way of hiring people. What I do is I say, I have these 10 things that need to be done. Which of these are you good at? Name three of these that you're good at. And they go, what? I said, name three of these that you're good at and you really like to do. And so I let them choose 3 out of 10 things. Usually, within a year, they're doing 10 out of the 10 things. But if you give people the right to choose what they're going to do with their job based on what they do best and what they're good at, then they find that they have more time, more ability, and they get validated to the fact that they're good and that they have value. When you look at the value of each and every person in your organization and you see them as valuable, you begin to see the places where they can contribute that you can't get from anybody else. Contribution is the one thing that most of us are not trained to have, not encouraged to have, and seldom receive. Now, the only thing I would disagree about the heart and the head thing is I don't think it's heart and head. For me, it's there's head should be logical, and there's logical ways to create this. But the head space is like the thing you were talking about, how they see how they should get the most or whatever. As far as I can see, that's really more about how they can justify what they're taking rather than creating what is possible. And justification is what people call headspace, which it actually isn't, as far as I can see. And they start to create from this weird place of justifying why it's okay to take from people. You know, so you shouldn't ever have to justify anything, because if you do, you're defending the wrongness of your own point of view. When you defend the wrongness of your own point of view, you always have to screw somebody else. Use my French.
You know,
and the heart space is closer to reality, but it doesn't have to be just heart.
So what's your secret for getting people to cooperate?
Well, first of all, I've learned long ago, always read your emails or your letters from the bottom up, not from the top down, because people will start in going in a particular direction and then try to justify why they're going in that direction and then tell you what they really want to be in. So if you start at the end, you always find out what they really have in mind. Then you read back to where they started, and then you begin to see a different reality and a different possibility. These are the things that most of us do not learn, even in business school. And I learned that, it's like if you pay attention and you listen, and that's the other thing I see people don't do, and that's the thing I teach people. Learn to listen. Stop trying to be interesting and be interested. If you are interested, then everybody will start to pay attention to you. If you are interesting, people will get bored and check out, because that's the way they guarantee that you have nothing of value by listening. When they have to listen to you and you're trying to be interesting, then they get to check out because they, oh, I know this. And as soon as they go, I know this, they don't listen to anything that falls after.
One of the things that I've read about you is that you say being aware of the fact that what people say and what they think are often two different things. Can you talk a little bit about how being able to tell the difference is really important, and why do people say things differently than what's really in their head and on their mind?
Well, because they want to create an image of who they are, they don't want to be who they are. And what I've noticed is that, it's like if you can be aware of what somebody is thinking about something, because it's like they're, I talked to a friend of mine, and her brother took her to a thing they were doing for how to interrogate prisoners, which, it's like not exactly my cup of tea. But anyway, they were looking for how to interrogate prisoners, and the end result was they ended up going and teaching. They started telling her how to see by what people did what they were lying about. And she said, it was so much easier for me because I already knew that I could just view what people would have as the lie, and I could get clarity about it because I would not buy what was coming out of their mouth if that energy didn't match what was coming out of their head. And you got to look for the energy that matches what's coming out of somebody's head for whether you tell it's true.
Well, let's jump from that to some of your tips for running a successful company. One of the things I know that is important to you is always asking questions. Can you talk a little bit about the power of the question?
Well, the thing is, a question empowers us to know and empowers the world to give us the correct information, not the answer, the information. What you want to do when you ask a question, the purpose of asking a question is to find the information you need to, A, know what you need to deliver to the person that you're talking to, and B, see what is really going on in their universe from their point of view. Because people have a tendency to look from their own limitations as though that's going to get them to where they want to go, which isn't really true. How do you get to where you really want to go? Start looking at what you actually have in mind and then asking for the information that will get you where you want to be. And that's a whole different reality. So you ask a question, and in so doing, you're looking for an awareness that gives you an easier way of delivering the product that the person desires. Question empowers, and answer disempowers. Once you come to a conclusion or an answer, then nothing that doesn't match that answer can come into your awareness, which is kind of okay. So you have to look for what's going to give me the greatest awareness. If you start looking for what's going to give you the greatest awareness, and all kinds of amazing possibilities show up.
We're talking with Gary Douglas about benevolent capitalism and cooperation, and we're on AM 1060, WMEL 241 1060. That's our phone number, area code 321-241-1060, if you have a question that you'd like us to address. In the meantime, what we're talking about is the power of questions. And it's amazing, what comes out of people's mouths sometimes when you're really listening or when you ask the right question. One of the questions that I typically ask at the end of a session that I do with new prospects, for instance, is I'll ask them, what else? Is there anything that we should have talked about, anything I should have asked you that I didn't? Can you talk a little bit about your experience with questions like that?
That's the most brilliant question you can ask anybody. And it's like, you are the only other person I ever met who asked that question. I was interviewing people for somebody else's business. I said, so what is the question I should have asked you that I haven't asked you? And I, you know, asked that at several people, and the answer came back to me. It was always amazing. Several times the people said, well, I really don't want this job. I just have to, you know, go interview in order to get my thing from the Department of, you know, Unemployment. And I went, oh, okay, so you're applying for jobs you don't want, so you don't get them, but so you can prove that you're trying to get a job so that you can show them that you're, you know, that you deserve the money you get. And I thought that was hysterically funny personally, because I wouldn't bother to apply for a job unless I really wanted one. But they would do that. And people said, well, you know, it's like, what you got to know is I've been in jail for 5 years and I just got out. And it's like they would tell me the most amazing things. But I had asked, so what is it, you know, I should have been asking you that I haven't asked? And it startled me that people would actually have such a bizarre place that they would function from, that they would just tell you if you asked the question. You just have to ask that question. So what should I have asked you? I didn't ask. And they will tell you all kinds of things.
This is Donna Anselmo on AM 1060 WMEL talking with Gary Douglas. Gary, if people want to reach you to get some more information about your philosophy and learn more about Access Consciousness, how can they do that?
They can contact me at accessconsciousness.com and you know, go to Gary and leave messages or ask for a return call or ask for whatever it is you want, and we will get back to you. I try my best to always return calls.
Well, that's very helpful. And what we want our listeners to know out there about you is that you know that it's entirely possible to turn things around when things aren't going well in a company, particularly when you stop looking at business only in terms of what you can get out of it, and you start looking at what everyone in your circle gets out of it, the people that you work with, the people that you employ, your customers. And Gary, I know that we have only a minute left, but you've made some points about the tide changing in this and the companies are realizing there's another way. Can you sum it up in 30 seconds?
30 seconds, I'd say what we've got to learn, what we've all got to learn, is the value of each and every employee, each and every person, and what they contribute to our lives and what they contribute to what's actually possible, and how do we see the gift that each person has in our life.
Thank you so much for being with us, Gary Douglas. Stay tuned for the second half of Bold Talk Business Radio with attorney John Lack, who's a real estate attorney and a title company and a realtor broker. So let's enjoy the news and hang with us for the next half of Bold Talk Business Radio. Tune in at 1060 WMEL.com on the internet and contact Gary Douglas, our guest, at GaryMDouglas.com. Thanks for being with us today. We look forward to talking with you in the next half of the show.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, and welcome back to Bold Talk Business Radio for the second half of our hourly show. And today, we started out talking about the importance of benevolent capitalism, the importance of caring about everyone in your organization, and about the people that you serve, as well as yourself, when you're looking to build profits and build effectiveness in your company. And in the second half of the show, we have attorney John Lack with us today, who is the founder of Lack and Lack Chartered Attorneys at Law. And John is a triple threat in the business here, as my friend Gene Newell says, because he is a real estate attorney, a real estate broker, and also the owner of a title company. And John, I know that you grew up in South Florida, that you worked for your dad's title company for a while, and then you struck out on your own. You moved to Brevard County. Talk to me a little bit about making that transition, because this is a business show, and one of the key skills that we talk about on Bull Talk Business Radio is some of the things that people have to do to be flexible and adaptable, especially in the face of change. When you moved to Brevard County, you noticed that there were some changes in the way things had to run in business here for you particularly. Let's talk a little bit about that.
All right, Donna. Well, first, I'd like to thank you for having me on the show. And I do want to make a couple of corrections to what you said, because it is Lack & Lack Chartered Attorneys at Law. And the first name in Lack & Lack is actually my father, Ed. So I don't want to claim to be the founder of Lack & Lack when it all started with my father, Ed Lack. And I didn't actually strike out on my own. I did work with my father in our predecessor title company of Union Title Corporation down in South Florida. When we as a family decided to move to the Brevard County area, my father came up with me, and that's when we together founded Waterview Title Services. So Waterview Title Services is still me and my father in practice together. We operate both the law office and the title company. Now, to get to your question, the change from South Florida to Central Florida was dramatic, because in South Florida, the customs of the community are for the buyer to pay for the title insurance and therefore to select the title insurance company. The reality is, while it is the buyer or the seller who selects the title company, it is actually the buyer's mortgage broker or the seller's listing agent. It is typically the realtors, the professionals in the practice, the realtors or the lenders that select the title company. Most lay people don't actually know a title company, know what a title company does, and they don't really have any loyalty to that. So when I moved from the South Florida area, where the source of my business had always been lenders and mortgage brokers, and I came to Central Florida and started soliciting mortgage lenders and mortgage brokers the way I did in South Florida, I quickly discovered that while they liked me and they would happily use me, they had no say in the transaction, because it was the sellers and the listing agents or realtors who actually controlled the market.
So what did you do differently in that case? You were used to marketing in a particular way to a particular group, and then you came here and oops, have to start again. So let's talk a little bit about how you focused yourself on a particular new group of referral sources.
Yeah, it was quite a sticker shock, if you will, because when dealing with lenders, a typical lender will do sometimes 20, 30, 40 closings a month. So if you can get affiliated with a lender as a title company, you can keep yourself very busy. Average realtor, you know, one deal, two deals a month. And if you're just soliciting individual realtors, it can take a while to build a practice that is sustainable. What I discovered when I came to town, and that was in end of 2003, when Waterview Title actually came to Brevard County, and I moved up here personally in 2005, and I did market during those couple of years. My father moved up ahead of me and we worked on the business. But when I came up in 05, what I discovered was there were several established title companies who had already established relationship with realtors and brokers. And it looked like it was going to be very hard to get my foot in the door, but there were not very many, if any, real estate attorneys. So when I would walk up to a real estate brokerage office and say, "Hi, John Lack with Waterview Title, I'd like to do business with you," they'd say, "We have no interest in a title company." And I said, "Well, I'm also an attorney." And they'd say, "Oh, an attorney, we could use one of those." And it turned out that this market was more interested in me as a real estate attorney than, for example, the South Florida market, where they were very happy to work with me as a title company.
So from a marketing perspective, being able to differentiate yourself in the market, to be able to tell your consumers or to tell your referral sources what makes you different and distinguishes you from all the other people that appear to be like you, is very key. One of the things that you're talking about is your differentiator in this market in Brevard is that you not only operate Waterview Title Services, but that you are a real estate attorney as well. So tell me why being a real estate attorney adds to the mix? What are some of the services and some of the reasons somebody would want to have a real estate attorney on board as opposed to a title company? I'm from New York. Every real estate deal done is with an attorney.
Yeah, that was another one of the areas. A great source of my business are people such as yourself from the Northeast who always say, of course a real estate attorney is going to be involved in the transaction. I wouldn't buy or sell a home without an attorney. But in Florida, it has become fairly customary for real estate agents and even title companies to tell the customers that they do not require the services of an attorney. And the customers trust their service providers, and so they're told they don't need an attorney. Great, we don't need an attorney. That's one less expense, and they move on. And very frequently, that is correct. If everything goes smoothly, if everything does exactly what it's supposed to do, then there are no legal issues that an attorney needs to be deal with. However, unfortunately, most things don't go smoothly. Even when they're going along, there's often bumps in the road. And as an attorney with experience, I can sometimes foresee problems that might be coming down the road and navigate around them so that the problems don't occur. Or when they do occur, I'm on the job there to go ahead and assist.
Can you give me an example of something that might be a red flag that you would see, for instance, in a contract or in a prospective real estate deal?
Okay. There are a variety of issues that do come up. The one things, a lot of times the issue has to do with if a buyer or seller wants to get out of a contract. A lot of my business, unfortunately, comes from a buyer who has decided they don't want to purchase the home or they can't purchase the home for some reason, and then they're looking for a way to get out of the contract without losing their deposit. Or sometimes a seller will have seller's remorse and decide they don't want to sell the home, but they've already entered into a contract to sell it. So those type of circumstances come up. Other examples would be when there's an inspection problem or if there's a lien, an unexpected lien or judgment against the seller. Sometimes you have situations where there may be a probate. So again, a title problem might arise that a title company might disclose, but then the title company is not in a legal position to deal with resolving the problem. So for example, a probate, if there was a death in the chain of title and the property has not properly transferred from the decedent to the heirs, things of that nature would require an attorney to step in and assist.
How challenging is it for you to be operating? I know everything kind of goes together. It's like having a big umbrella of one piece of your business can feed another. So you have Waterview Realty Services, for example, and then Waterview Title. But you also have your attorney practice. You've got to manage and kind of think in three different silos sometimes. So talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges that you have in operating three businesses.
Well, the single biggest thing is remembering which hat I'm wearing, because when you're acting in each of the different roles, you have different responsibilities. And so when acting as a real estate agent, typically, realtors are representing the transaction. There are multiple ways a realtor can be an agent, but the customary is transaction agent, wherein they're actually representing the transaction, not necessarily either party. When you're an attorney, primarily you are an advocate for one of the parties. So you are typically representing the buyer or representing the seller. Now, sometimes you can act as a neutral attorney closing agent, but that's really more the role of a title company. Now, attorneys can act as closing agents similar to a title company, but my father many, many years ago chose to open up a separate title company on the theory that there were those who might not want to work with an attorney, and there were. Back in the day, there were banks and realtors who wanted to work with a title company, not an attorney. So by having that separate title company, I don't always wear the attorney hat when I'm acting as a title agent. So the single biggest thing would be trying to make sure I remember who I am and what I'm doing.
So no matter which hat he's wearing today, real estate broker, attorney, or title company president, you're hearing from Jonathan D. Lack, Esquire, on AM 1060 WMEL.com. This is Donna Anselmo, your talk show host. Pete Anselmo in the studio with us, and Gene Newell, real estate agent, sitting quietly on the sidelines today, which is really unusual for Jeannie Beanie. But I'm glad to have her, because Gene also works at Waterview Realty and provided the introduction to John Locke today. So, John, talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing in the real estate market now in Brevard County.
Well, thankfully, it appears that the market is making a little bit of a comeback. I hope that it is steady and not accelerated. I don't want to have a repeat. While 2003, 4, and 5 were wonderful, and that's when I came to town and everything was booming, the collapse that followed in 2006 that has not really been recovered from yet, I'd rather not see a three-year boom and a 10-year collapse. So a steady increase in prices and getting us back to where property values are where they should be and not inflated as they were in 4 and 5, but also not so depressed as they've been in 2010, 11, and 12. So I do see a steady improvement. We're seeing a drop-off in foreclosures, though they're still out there. There seems to be less of that. The banks seem a little more amenable to clearing out their inventory, so we're seeing some short sales go a little bit more smoothly than they have over the years, and the REO properties are slowly getting themselves cleared out as well. So it's a very promising market for the next few years, I hope.
Well, you just said the F word. Foreclosure. So let's talk a little bit about that. We just did a segment on benevolent capitalism in the prior half of the show, talking about the importance of being able to look at the total picture and serve your community really well. And there are a lot of people who need help. They just get underwater. Their life circumstances change. They don't have the money they had maybe when they first bought the house or thought they were going to be able to afford it and later found out that they couldn't. Markets change, jobs change, people get ill, they become divorced, and all kinds of things can go into the circumstance of why somebody might be facing a foreclosure on their home. How do you help?
Well, I heard parts of your segment on the benevolent capitalism, and I feel that's the path I chose back in 2006 when the market actually began its precipitous collapse. Up to that time, I had been practicing law for about 16 years, and throughout my practice, I had represented a lot of private lenders, and a large part of my practice was handling foreclosures as a plaintiff foreclosing on homes. Well, I was doing that a little bit when the market collapsed and realized this is a different world. This isn't the 90s where you have an occasional borrower who can't make their mortgage payment. Here we had thousands upon thousands of people going into foreclosure. And I decided to take off the plaintiff's hat. Instead of helping the lenders take the property from the borrowers, I was going to help our community try to stay in their home, or when they can't stay in their home, what I call a graceful exit from the home. And that's how Waterview Realty was actually born. It was assisting my attorney clients. It was assisting them to make a graceful exit from the home when it became clear that we couldn't get a loan modification, we couldn't negotiate any type of settlement with the bank. Another thing that is very important I'd like to get out on the air is the Florida Hardest Hit Fund. And I don't know, Donna, are you familiar with the fund?
I am not, so please let me know.
And it's very disappointing that you're not, but I don't blame you. But this is a federally funded state program. It's called the Florida Hardest Hit Fund. And it's designed to assist unemployed homeowners, unemployed or underemployed. So if you're taking a 10% reduction in your salary. Now, there are other eligibility criteria, but the design of the program is to pay your mortgage for you during your period of unemployment or underemployment for up to a year. Now, again, there are some other limitations, but it is a very broad program designed to help those when our economy collapsed. And the program started in 2011, so it's been around a while.
And did you say this was a federal program?
It's federally funded state program. It's under the umbrella of the Making Home Affordable that Obama came out with in 2008. This program actually hit the streets in 2010 as a trial program, and it went statewide in 2011. So it's actually run by Florida Housing Finance Corporation, which is the state financing agency. And my office, Lack & Lack Chartered, is an advisor to the program. If you go to my website, lacklaw.com, www.lacklaw.com, there is a link to the Florida Hardest Hit Fund, and it can give you all sorts of information. And that is, again, it started... My practice started in 2006 of helping others, and then it expanded in 2011 when we became an advisor to this program. And it's very in line with what your prior interview was regarding helping, you know, helping others, helping the community, and making a living and making a profit doing so, but doing it in a positive way.
Well, I know you have a great heart for what you do, John. And what I want to ask you about is, coming from a marketing perspective, you kind of just tweaked my little spot here, which is, why don't people know about this program? I didn't know about it. I know Jean had mentioned something, but I didn't recall the name of it. And as a homeowner, if I was in trouble, I really would want to know about this. So how come there's not more attention paid to it?
I wish I knew the answer to that. I'm a small guy with a small office. It's me and my father in practice. And I have spent the last, I guess it's 5 years now, doing my own little bit to market the program. I had been speaking for a while there. I was speaking 3 times a month at the Brevard Workforce, putting out the word to the unemployment office, essentially the reemployment office. And I had been speaking to unemployed people, letting them know about this program. And with every seminar I gave, I'd get a ton of applicants because it was a wonderful program, but it never seemed to spread with the word of mouth it should. And the state of Florida, I believe they're actually, it's either this month or next, they're actually doing a little bit of marketing for it. But over the last 5 years, they've appointed advisors throughout the state. I believe there's 70 of them at this point. And the advisors have been tasked with marketing on our own. So the state of Florida has not actually done the marketing, but rather has left it up to us. And my form of marketing is seminars. I like to teach these classes. I like to interact with people. And so that's how I've put the word out. I had taken a couple of ads out, but I didn't find that to be overly productive. So it is talking to people such as yourself and getting the word out is the only way I know to do it.
Attorney John Lack, Lack and Lack Chartered, thanks for the heads up on that program. Is there any chance that the Florida Hardest Hit Fund is due to sunset anytime? Do people have to get their application in by a certain date?
I would say the sooner the better. It is a matter of whether you qualify. Again, it's designed for unemployed or underemployed homeowners. So if, however, you had been unemployed or underemployed and you've since found a job, there is a second part of the program that will assist you with reinstatement. So there are funds available. Let's say you've missed 4 mortgage payments, so you're $4,000 in arrears and now you have a job, but the bank isn't working with you on that $4,000. Part of the program is the state will pay that $4,000 to bring you current. They'll actually pay up to $18,000 and, in fact, up to $25,000 under certain circumstances. So the program is still out there. It is still available. Again, it's the Florida Hardest Hit Fund. If you go to LackLaw.com, there is a link. The program, I believe, has adequate funding through 2017. So time is ticking, but it's not over yet.
All right. And I always like to encourage our listeners, if you need help, ask for it. Don't stay home and wait until things get more dire and then you're facing a bankruptcy. Or even if you are already facing a bankruptcy, don't wait, because there are legal remedies and there are programs that can help you. So just find a qualified person like John D. Lack, who can answer some of your questions. John, I wanted to just get back for a minute to real estate. You have offices in NG Atlantic. You also have a real estate office down in Pompano in the Fort Lauderdale area. And I know that you're from South Florida. Can you talk a little bit about what differences there are now in the market between South Florida and Northern, you know, well, we're Central Florida, north of South Florida. Do you see people moving out of the hustle bustle of the more crowded Fort Lauderdale area up to Brevard? What's going on?
Well, part of my marketing plan is to attempt to take advantage of that migration we see that I was a part of a few years back, the migration from the South Florida area here into Brevard. So from Broward to Brevard is how I call it. And I'm trying to build my bridge between Broward and Brevard, because there are a lot of people who are looking to, for the more laid-back, quiet atmosphere that Broward County was when I was growing up. So I moved up here for exactly that reason. I wanted to raise my family in an environment similar to how I was raised, a little bit more laid-back, a little more casual than Broward County. From a market standpoint, it's very crowded in South Florida, but very active. It's a very good market. From a business standpoint and business marketing, from my perspective, the deals tend to be a higher price, and that's always beneficial to us in the business world. And also, as we discussed earlier, it's kind of a different marketing approach because of the difference with the buyers selecting title versus the sellers here in Brevard.
What, we've got 2 minutes left. So what do you want our buyers to know about the market now?
Well, it's a good time to buy because interest rates are still very low. Once the election occurs, you know, who knows what's going to happen every 4 years. We kind of hold our breath to see what the interest rates are going to do after an election. So right now, rates are very good. Prices are starting to rise, but they're still very reasonable. So if you're looking to buy a property, now is a good time to do so. Likewise, if you're looking to sell, prices are on the rise. At some point, there will be a plateau. So if you're in a position to sell, you can sell for a better price now because buyers have more buying power with the lower interest rate. So it is a good time to consider whether you want to stay or whether you should go.
Will I stay or will I go? Okay, so we've been talking in this segment with attorney John Lack, real estate attorney of Lack & Lack Chartered, a firm founded by his dad, because I want to make that correction from earlier in the show. And John is also the proprietor of Waterview Realty Services, based in the Atlantic, Florida, and Waterview Title Services. So check out Lack, John, your website.
The website is lacklaw.com. That's LACKLAW.com. And that can be reached by phone at area code 321-953-5115.
Well, we want you, our listeners, to make it a bold week. Have a really awesome opportunity in the next week to enjoy your life because you have control over that. So make it a time that you're going to really remember this coming week until you get to come back on Bold Talk Business Radio next week. If you want to hear about a special business topic, please call us. You can reach us at boldmarketingsolutions.com or you can look us up on our new blog at boldtalkbusinessradio.com. See you next week. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.